Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging my cans of Monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.
Hello, neighbors. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. It is your host, Memphis, at DWZ Memphis on Twitter. And thanks for tuning in. Tonight, we are joined by Dean. Dean is sharing with us his, I guess, home league turned dynasty league with a bunch of buddies for the past several years. And it is hosted on CBS Sports. I never knew CBS really hosted that much dynasty, but I've had two guests this season who have hosted leagues on CBS, and come to find out it's a paid format. Guys, if you're not willing to pay up for MFL, my preferred site for hosting my dynasty leagues, then you can't beat Sleeper for free. You 100%, you know, with the group chat feature and things like that. So we're going to grab Dean and just a few, and we're going to cover his hosting platform, his league, how he got involved, things of that here in just a few minutes. But before I get into that, I want to make sure I share what's going on with you over at the DWZ. So on Monday, the 17th? Yeah, it feels right. Monday the 17th, we had our first Devi show. Now, I know here on the Dynasty Happy Hour, you have the Devi Happy Hour, and it's a damn good show. And the Dynasty Warzones version of the Devi show is hosted by Jerry Sinclair, along with Kane Fussell and Shane P. Hallam. And these guys are really just trying to keep you in the loop with some of these draft-eligible guys that you'll be hearing, I guess, about 8-9 months from now, when we get into rookie season in March. And you know, that way those names, they don't creep up on you. You're not going to see a lot of these guys in action. I mean, you'll see some, hopefully. Hopefully we'll have some college football to see some of these guys play. But, you know, Shane and Kane and Jerry are three of my go-tos. And our fourth man, Josh, was unable to make it. But a great show if you're looking for a little extra Devi content. Check those guys out. And then on Friday the 21st, me and my co-host, Kyle, we covered just a little DFS primer, kind of transitioned into some dynasty talk and some season-long talk and just some general week one lineup setting. You know, really just keeping the fires going. When we started the gambling and DFS podcast, we were anticipating having preseason games by now. Obviously, we don't, but the content still drops every Friday and Saturday over at the Dynasty Warzone. And then the Wednesday show, we have had a great 2 weeks. Because as we've rolled out the Devi show and as we've rolled out the DFS / gambling show, we've really focused the Dynasty Warzone just back to that, to just Dynasty. And I got to tell you, the ratings and the reviews would suggest that we're doing a damn good job. So the last two shows, a couple of weeks ago, we had Dan Williamson of the Goat District podcast on, and he, myself, and Jerry, we broke down some of the bigger myths in Dynasty Fantasy Football. For me personally, I'll share one of mine with you. It was me talking about whether or not I think you need to draft a rookie quarterback with your 101 in your rookie drafts. I think some of our takes in this might surprise you. And then this past Wednesday, which would have been the 19th, Jerry and myself, we really broke down to what we thought is some of the news coming out of camps right now. There's a lot of it, whether it's AJ Dillon's thighs or the mysterious lower body injury to Miles Sanders, Cam Newton, and Jarrett Stidham in New England. We told you some of our opinions on those, whether or not it's just a training camp news hit, something that you need to monitor and keep an eye on, or whether we thought it was just training camp bullshnikes. And we went into a lot of different stories. We liked some, we didn't like others. But that's kind of what's been going on over at the Dynasty Warzone, and that's the route we're going to go for the foreseeable future. The Devi Show will drop once a month. There'll be one in September. The Dynasty-based show will be every Wednesday. And then the gambling / DFS pod will be dropping on Thursdays in time for Thursday Night Football. So thank you if you're checking that out. Thank you for checking this show out. And if you need anything, if you're looking to get a hold of me, I've already booked a future guest named Dustin via DynastyWarzone@gmail.com. If you're not a social media person, I know I drop the Twitter handle all the time, at DWZ Memphis and at Dynasty Warzone on Instagram and Twitter. If you're just not a social media person, hey, I get that. But we're in the day and age where everybody has an email. Just shoot me an email, DynastyWarzone@gmail.com. If you have a question, maybe I can help you with a trade. Maybe I can help you with whatever. I try to get to those pretty quick. And follow me on Twitter, because if you follow me, you can at me, and if you can at me, you can DM me, and if you can DM me, we can work something out there. That's for the social media savvy people. And I always make it a point to try to get to everybody as fast as I can, but hit me up at DWZ Memphis. If you hit up the show handle, you may get Jerry, you may not get a quick response. So, last couple of things, 5-star reviews. Guys, I get it. Not everybody is in a good space to be able to, you know, buy a Trophy Smack trophy or be able to join a Patreon. Dig it. Get it. Respect it. Love it. Thank you for tuning in. But if you want to help us out, if you want to help me and Jerry out at the Dynasty Warzone, and if you want to help the gang here at the Dynasty Happy Hour, you want to help us out and it costs you $0. It takes nothing but a couple of clicks. We'd love you to type up some words. Man, go to your podcast rating and review space and leave us a 5-star. And even better, leave us a 5-star and subscribe. That is the fastest, freest, and yes, I like to use the word freest. I know it's not a word, but it is for me. Someone told me that word was made up, and I said all words are made up. But that is the freest, easiest way to help us. It takes a very little time. If you're listening to this and you're not driving or operating heavy machinery, boom, hit pause. Go right in. You can leave it, and I guarantee you, time yourself. Make it a competition. Leave us one here on the Dynasty Happy Hour, and then however long that takes, see if you can do it faster when leaving a 5-star for the Dynasty Warzone. It's a little bit of fun. You're a competitive person. At least I hope you are. I am. Boom. You help 2 people out, 2 show feeds out, and it costs you nothing. But if you're wanting to get into something that might cost you a couple of bucks, hey, I get it. You know, what am I getting for my few bucks a month over at patreon.com/DynastyWarzone? I can tell you these knuckleheads are getting ready to start our 3rd Devi League. We are 6 Patreon Dynasty Leagues in. We have got 2 charity leagues where all of the proceeds are going to charity. And those are just leagues. If you're looking for good leagues with good people, with active owners, you hear me all the time on this thing say, hey, man, if you're looking for an active chat, or hey, boom, I can tell you our chat is active. Had 137 messages the other day in an 8-hour period. Maybe that's too many for you, but if you're really in a dynasty and you're really looking for a group of people just to be able to talk dynasty with, I will challenge you to find a better one. And that's not even including the extra podcasts we do a week. That's not including the one-on-ones. I often book 45-minute phone slots where I will call you or you can call me. And we go over your roster, very similar to what we do here on The Contractor, except we don't record it, but we can record that too. But remember, you do not have to be a Dynasty Warzone Patreon to be on this show. This is free. Dustin, the guy I mentioned earlier, 100% free. He emailed me, boom, got him on the schedule. So we have a lot of good stuff going on there, but if you're looking to support us, you're looking to support the Happy Hour, ratings and reviews, guys, the biggest way to do it. Again, all the social media, I'm going to hit you with it one last time before I get Dean. Dynasty Warzone Instagram and Twitter, DynastyWarzone@gmail.com, at DWZ Memphis. If you need to get a hold of me, I'd love to help you. Seasons, guys, it's less than 3 weeks away. That if you're driving in your car, don't close your eyes. Don't repeat. Don't close your eyes. But give yourself that little Tiger Woods fist pump. Man, we're less than 20 days. If you're listening to this on release day, we're less than 20 days away from NFL football. The glory, the greatness is coming back. And we need it, guys. And I'll tell you what else we need. We need a quick word from our friends at Trophy Smack. And then I'm going to get Dean and we're going to get into another roster. And one last thank you. Thank you for everything that you guys are doing to support the Happy Hour and the Warzone. It means a ton. Tyler, the head honcho, as I like to call him here at the DHH, he tells me how much you all are enjoying the contractor. That means a ton. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for downloading. And hopefully thank you for subscribing to both shows. It means a ton. It's a very competitive space, and I'm a very competitive person if you haven't picked that up. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's hear from Trophy Smack, and let's go get Dean. Take care, guys. Have a great week. Are you looking for a reminder of your fantasy football greatness? Are you looking for something to set your league apart from those dime a dozen jabroni leagues out there? Then head over to trophysmack.com and hook your league up with the best trophies in the game today. And not only will you get the best trophies in the game today, you can get a free championship ring up to a $59.99 value by entering in the promo code DWZRING. You pick out your trophy, which one do you like? You put it in the cart, you add the ring to the cart, you add the promo code DWZRING, makes the ring free, and your league is now a step above the league down the street. So if you're looking for the best, you want to be the best in the game, you want to have the best league in town, go over to trophysmack.com, get that trophy, get that ring, use that code DWZRING, and let's have a big season. And here he is, as promised. His name is Dean. Dean is going to share with us tonight his Safe Leagues 28-man rostered Superflex. Dean, welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, buddy.
Thank you, Memphis. Appreciate it.
No, man, I appreciate it. It's people like you that, you know, do the dirty work that my co-host on the Dynasty Warzone, Jerry, has to do all the time. He has to put up with me almost every single week. You guys only got to put up with me once. But I am going to rope you guys back in for a follow-up show in, you know, in season. I want to know how these moves have, you know, worked out for you, how the season's progressing. What are you doing? But before we get into that, man, just tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been playing, I guess, fantasy in general. How long you've been into Dynasty, and just a little bit about Dean, a.k.a., for those that don't know, the total package. It's an inside joke. You would never get it. Dean, tell us about your fantasy life.
Yeah, I've been playing about 20 years, believe it or not, and then the last four have been in Dynasty, and the last two have been in Superflex. And really, to me, Superflex is the big jump. You know, going from redraft to Dynasty, you know, I've always drafted young. It wasn't that big a deal, but jumping a super flex really changes things. And that's kind of why I want to be on the show and get a little bit of help.
Well, I appreciate you being in there. And no, nowadays, people being in Dynasty for 20 years, I've been playing for just over that mixed bag of all different kinds of fantasy football. But I did a show right here on the contractor with a young man named Dallas. And he started playing when he was in the ninth grade. I have got my original, I call it my old school redraft league. This is going into year 16, maybe 17. And this league, so there's a family. Their last name's the Deckers. And the husband and I were in the original league together. Then a few years into it, his wife started playing in the league for a while. She's not really into it anymore. And now their 12-year-old son is taking his mom's team. And it's redraft. There's no keepers or anything. It's just a old school ESPN 16, you know, roster spot league. But we've literally passed this one on now to the second generation. So for you to say you're playing 20 years, it doesn't have to make you that old, but it makes you pretty experienced, man. I'm glad to have you.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to be here. I really appreciate it.
All right, so let's dive into the overall format of this team. This is a full point PPR, 12 owners. Superflex and tight end premium, and it's hosted on Safe Leagues. And I want to spend just a second on Safe Leagues. Now, in tight end premium here, tight ends get 2 points per reception. So That's pretty big, especially for those volume hog tight ends like a Zach Ertz, like a Travis Kelce, like a George Kittle. I'm not even ready really to throw Mark Andrews into that group in this big of a format, because although he is very good and very young and very talented, he's not going to get the volume. At least I've not seen it. His quarterback, Lamar Jackson, last year only threw the ball 401 times. So it's not a huge volume offense. 2 points PPR tight end is a big flipping deal. And man, so is safe leagues. How'd you get into a safe league? I'm very curious. I'm starting to see more of those.
Yeah, I wanted to try Superflex. And what I liked about safe leagues, it doesn't seem like the draw, the money they take out is as much as, let's say, FFPC. FFPC, you know, in their lower stake leagues, it's like 20-25%. Safe league doesn't seem that they take out as much money. So that's kind of what I was looking at. You know, I played FFPC in one quarterback. I said, let me give safe league a try and see if I like it.
That's very smart. So I'm an old poker player. Love the game of poker. But the one thing you have to know about, if you're a winner, you know, the money coming out of the pot, whether it's Dynasty or a fantasy football league or like a poker game, the money coming out only matters to the winners. You know, if you play in a poker game, it's called the rake. They take money out of every pot, or in some cases, you might pay like seat rent, or like you pay $10 an hour for your seat. But that money only matters to the winners. The losers don't care. They're putting their money in regardless. So being a savvy owner, I like that. I like the fact that you know what the, and we'll just call it a rake. You knew what the rake was, and you're like, man, this is a little stiff. I'm going to go try to find better money. So this is not an advertisement for safe leagues, although I am very friendly with Scott Fish. Scott Fish is a great dude. And one thing I like about safe leagues and even FFPC, these things have not had leagues collapse, and the money's always there when you win, right?
Yes, sir.
And, yep. And there's two things I want, especially in Dynasty. I want to make sure that the effort and work that I put into building my rosters is going to be there year after year after year, because, man, once you get this trainer rolling, it can be profitable, and you don't want it to collapse, and you also want to make sure you get paid. So that's a complete plug for safe leagues and even FFPC. Now, if you want to get charged a little bit more, but it's a little bit more of a name cachet, that's between you and your wallet and if you're a contender or not. So my question is what would you consider the activity of this league? Would you consider it a good activity league, a low activity league? What is the overall tenor of this group?
I would say it's low to moderate. You know, of course, during the rookie, you know, the startup and then the rookie draft, there's a decent amount of activity, but in the off season, there's very little, and during the season, there's a few trades. Just to kind of give you, since March, we've had about 10 trades since March. I was involved in three of them. You know, most of it was around the rookie draft. And then last year, we had about 9 trades since the rookie draft in June to about February, to kind of give you an idea of the activity.
Unfortunately, this is an all-too-common theme with a lot of the people I talk to here on The Contractor. It is. It's, you know, it's right after the Super Bowl. Everything goes radio silent for a while. Then you get the NFL draft. Then somewhere between there and the start of the season, you get your rookie draft. Then you start getting a little training camp. Then you get into the season. Then it dies off again. Then if your league has a trade deadline, it'll spike back up again. So you only get 3 or 4 pockets a season of any real conversation and chat, right?
Yes, that's definitely correct. That puts the league to a T.
And I got news for you, my friend. I'm in industry leagues with people that if I told you their names, you would know each and every one of them, hashtag humble brag. But I say that to mean is that even the best leagues with the best owners, that's not uncommon. So one thing I'm going to remind you, because it's just good advice for those that listen, always be the catalyst. Be the straw that stirs the drink. You know, you get that, and it's already happened, but Damian Williams opts out. You need to post that that tweet in the group chat. You know, Darius Geis gets, you know, arrested. You need to post that. Maybe you just throwing something out there. It came out recently this week, the week that you and I are recording this, that Todd Gurley had a quote-unquote noticeable limp at training camp and that they may limit his touches. You throw that out there. Maybe it creates conversation. Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it's the subtle hint that never goes anywhere, but damn it, at least you know that you tried. And then I ask, why are you looking for the help of the contractor? You said this is your second year of Superflex, and you're really trying to get a better grasp of that. Is that correct?
Yep, that is correct. You know, as I said, Superflex to me really changes things quite a bit, and I'm still getting the hang of the quarterbacks. You know, I've always been pretty good drafting running backs and wide receivers. So the quarterbacks, I'm still getting the hang of that, having the right number, having the right caliber and things like that.
Sure, and I've said this, and I will take credit for this because I believe I was the first person in the dynasty industry to say this, but comparing Superflex to a 1QB is like comparing checkers to chess. Everybody, my old school redraft league, I just referenced it earlier, is going to have a 12-year-old playing. Guess what? It's a 1QB league. That's what 95% of all leagues in America are. And last I heard, it was something like 70 to 100 million people play fantasy football. And that's great. But once you get to that next level, man, the strategy and the nuance and the amount of strategy, I'll stick with that word, strategy that you have to put into the moves you make, it really amplifies. And I want to quote my good buddy, Izzy Alkafast from the Dynasty Trade Calculator. You know, when it comes to quarterbacks, the best time to get them is in your drafts, whether that be your startup or whether that be your rookie draft, because for whatever reason, that's when they're the cheapest. And it's just good sound advice. So remember, when you're doing your drafts, that's the greatest time or the best time for value anyway to get them. You know, what kind of shape is this roster in? I'm going to let you tell me before we get into the actual player by player roster. How do you feel like you're going to do this year?
Oh, I feel like I'm definitely a contender. You know, of course, this is going to be a crazy year with COVID and you got to have good health. I got a few backups. Some of it I didn't plan, but I do have backups for a lot of my key guys. So I feel pretty good. The quarterback is the question. I mean, I have three starters, so I think that's good, but I don't have a top guy. And, you know, the question that I'm going to have is, do I wait, you know, for the draft next year, you know, to get a Lawrence or to get a Fields, you know, or try to trade up for that? Or do I try to make something now, maybe take a first and one of the guys I have and try to upgrade? So I'm open, and I'd like to hear, you know, what your thoughts are.
Yeah, we're going to jump into the roster in just a minute. And you said, you know, short-term goal, trying to understand if you should upgrade your QBs. We just covered that. Long-term, you want to feel good since the roster is a good mix of young guys and veterans. And also, you do have three firsts next year, so you'd like to have an idea of what you want to do with those. So I think we have a good understanding about where you're at as an owner, where this roster is overall. And, man, let's jump into it. Let's go with your quarterbacks because that's your big question. Why make you wait to the end? I'll read these guys off. You have got Baker Mayfield. You've got Drew Locke. And Drew Locke is a very polarizing name right now. A guy that I really like in Jimmy Garoppolo. You got Jacob Eason of my Colts. He's the third stringer. But both Philip, if the season ended today and the Colts did not re-sign Jacoby or Philip Rivers, Jacob Eason, I believe, would be the only QB on the roster. So not a bad little guy. You probably got him late in your rookie draft this year. Case Keenum's a fascinating guy. And I'll just say this about Baker without trashing him because I kind of always do. And sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not. It's that Cleveland was the only other team per CBS Sports to have any interest in Cam Newton. That's documented, CBS Sports. And they brought in Case Keenum on a 3-year, $18 million deal. And Case Keenum had very good success on the Vikings when Kevin Stefanski was part of this. And people are like, well, that's no big deal. I'm like, well, look at what they're paying him. And if it's no big deal, let your significant other bring their ex to town and go out to dinner and tell you it's no big deal. And then you let me know how you feel. And then you got Mullins. I don't even remember his first name. He's the backup in San Francisco?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep. So Nick Mullins. Nick. How could I forget Nick? He listens to the show. Nick, we love you, babe. We love you, babe. So what do you like? What are your concerns?
You know, I like having, you know, I picked up Locke right before NFL free agency. And I traded 202 and 302 for him. And I really feel like his value has gone up quite a bit since then, you know, since they had such a good rookie draft. So, you know, I feel okay, but I just don't know. Do I want to get a stud guy? I think I can win. You know, I think this year those three are fine. It's just a question of next year or the year after. You know, or, you know, because I hear the Mayfield talk. You know, I know you brought up on Keenum that he's making so much money. He's, you know, what's one of the three highest or whatever backups. So that worries me a bit. And then even Garoppolo, there was some talk that, you know, they may look to change out, you know, and Locke, if he doesn't do it, they may get a veteran. So, you know, in 2 years, am I going to have zero? You know, right now, I think I have three starters. So that's the question is, do I get something a bit more firm? Or, you know, I do think things have changed where, you know, maybe the top 10 quarterbacks they keep, but everybody else, you know, you're kind of in guessing. They may not keep their job. I think things are changing, maybe 4-year contract. Things are changing with quarterbacks. I don't know if you're going to have the super long, except for the top guys, you know?
I agree with almost everything that you threw out there. I will just say this. I'm looking at Dynasty ADP per Fantasy Pros right now, and they have Baker Mayfield at 9, and they have Drew Locke at 18 and Jimmy Garoppolo at 19. I don't think Baker Mayfield's the best quarterback on this roster, but I love using references, especially with people. People love affirmation. And I would start kicking the tires. You know, guys after Baker that I like a lot more than Baker per these rankings. And I know other ranking resources will be different, including the Dynasty Happy Hours. But the guys behind Baker that I like that I would be targeting to move Baker for would be Daniel Jones, Matt Stafford. And I know Matt Stafford's 32 years old, but you know, Drew Locke is very young. And Jimmy Garoppolo's, I think, 28. So, you know, to add a 32-year-old would not bother me. And I love Jared Goff. For whatever reason, not everybody, but the consensus in the dynasty industry is just that Jared Goff sucks. And I don't get it. He's been, I think, the QB 13 or better in basic 4-point per passing touchdown scoring like the last 3 years. And I get it. He's not great. He's never going to be confused with Patrick Mahomes, but he's attached to Sean McVay. They've got good weapons. They've got a bad defense. And they play in good weather. They play in Los Angeles. So, I mean, he's got, like, more working for him than I think a guy like Baker Mayfield does. So if you're looking to move Baker, because he is very popular, and he's cool. I will just say this. For all the bad things that I say about Baker the football player, Baker the dude is cool. I would hang out with Baker. I would drink beer with Baker. I would totally hang out with Baker. I have to be honest about my football team. I'm looking to put points on my roster. And so he would be the one that I would move, although I think Drew Locke would be the one who may fetch the most value because there's a lot of intrigue around him. All those weapons, Sutton, Judy, Hamler, Fant, Albert Okwuegbunam, they brought in Glasgow for the offensive line. They brought in Melvin Gordon. So he would be the one that I would be looking to move, honestly, of this three, because he has the best combination of name value. And I'm also worried about his production. You know, I've been very critical of Baker's situation in that, you know, low volume offense, run the ball, play defense. That's kind of what Vic Fangio wants to do in Denver. They got a great defense. They have a built-in advantage. They're playing a mile high. And he would be the one I would be looking to move. Would you be willing to move him?
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely like to trade. Sometimes too much. But, yeah, I definitely like to upgrade if possible.
I mean, a move that I would instantly send, I would look at the Daniel Jones owner's roster. And if I could get Daniel Jones and a second for Drew Locke and whatever you perceive to be the worst first you have, I would do that. I love Daniel Jones, and if I posted a picture on my Twitter the other day, at DWZ Memphis, and it was a picture of Daniel Jones' body formation. I mean, the guy just looks ripped, like he put on you know, a bunch of muscle, especially in his lower body. And I know a lot of people make fun of his offensive coordinator. We like to call him the clapper. But if you go back and look, the quarterback attached to a Jason Garrett offense, with the exception of the 2 years that Tony Romo got hurt, was a QB1, a top 12 QB. And I don't think Baker is going to be a top 12 QB. And I don't think Locke is going to be a top 12 QB. I think Jimmy Garoppolo totally could. If that defense regresses at all, and with the skill positions they have around him, there's no reason why Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't be your highest scoring quarterback, and probably will be, to be quite honest. But if you're looking for the guys to get in there, I would look at Matt Stafford's owner. Maybe he's a rebuilder, you know? Maybe he's going to blow it up. Guys I would look to avoid would be like Aaron Rodgers. I'm not a big fan of Sam Darnold. I've heard some very scary stats on him. Kirk Cousins, guys like that. I don't think that I want to pay up to get into the Kyler, Dak, Deshaun Watson range. But man, if I could get into the Carson Wentz, Daniel Jones, Matt Stafford, Jared Goff range, I think you're going to put more points in your lineup without having to give up a ton. At least that's some of the moves I would make. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Now, the one thing I was thinking, I heard with Daniel Jones how tough his schedule is. So I'm wondering, is it better to wait after a few games and maybe the owner gets a little frustrated with Daniel Jones and I can get him a bit cheaper? What do you think about that?
That's totally fine, because the one thing you were asking about, some overall super flex strategies, is having three guys, man, you just play the best matchup. All three of these guys are starters. Hey, you know what? Baker's playing Cincinnati and Daniel Jones, but you know, maybe one of your other guys is playing a really tough matchup, like Jimmy Garoppolo's playing Seattle, just whatever. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to sit Jimmy. I'm going to play Baker, or I'm just going to play the best two matchups. So you kind of have like this built-in streaming thing inadvertently right there already in your roster. So, you know, and one of your other general questions was, how many quarterbacks can you have? As many as you want. I did a Trade Addicts League, and I wound up with like four starting quarterbacks. And I ended up drafting Daniel Jones in that first rookie draft in that league. And I had five starting quarterbacks. There is no, like, unless your league has rules against it, I'll take them. Because like Izzy said from the Dynasty Trade Calculator, at some point people are like, hey, I need a quarterback. And guess what you get to make them do at that point? You get to make them pay up.
Make them up. Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
You ever seen Caddyshack?
Oh yeah, great movie.
The American classic Caddyshack at the end where Rodney Dangerfield tells his two bodyguard, muscle-bound guys, hey, help the judge find his wallet. Hey, you get to help that owner find his wallet when he comes to you needing a quarterback. And as far as those firsts, this is a 12-person league, right?
Yes, sir.
And you got three firsts right now. So right now, the way that I see that is that you have a 50-50 shot of landing at least one of the big three quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, and Justin Fields, and the big three running backs that come to mind, Chuba Hubbard, Travis Etienne, and Najee Harris. And depending on how these first turn out, you could wind up with two of the three. And man, that would be really, really nice. So I don't know that I would give up more than one of those firsts, but I would also, you have a second, and I wouldn't mind sending, hey, you know what, even though Fantasy Pros has Baker Mayfield, and you know what, you have a very good call, because Daniel Jones's schedule to start the season is very tough. And you know who has one of the easiest schedules to start the season? Baker Mayfield.
Jimmy G.
No, Jimmy G probably does too, but I know for a fact Baker,
yeah.
I think it was ranked the easiest first seven games, if I remember correctly. So Baker's going to get off to a hot start. We know Daniel Jones is going to get off to a slower start. You know, that's when you can engage in that conversation. Now, there may be some other pieces. They're like, hey, I don't want to make a lateral move quarterback for a quarterback. You may have to twist their arm a little bit, but these are moves that you can totally make. And all these guys are very polarizing. I think Jimmy Garoppolo, unless you have like some ladies in your league, Jimmy Garoppolo would have the least amount of sizzle of these three. So that's what I think about your quarterback room. I'm not moving the firsts unless I really get an enhancement at that quarterback position. So we'll just transition to the running backs. Everybody loves them. And man, you've got a room full of nice ones. You're very top heavy. You've got Dalvin Cook. You've got Miles Sanders. And then you've got some nice depth guys. You've got Zach Moss, Matt Breda, who I absolutely love. If I had to pick my late round, let's talk redraft for a second. I know we normally do dynasty. If I had to pick my late round flyer, not really too late, but like I don't know where he's going in ADP because I was not prepared to talk redraft, but he's a guy that I'm getting everywhere. The Chan Gailey offense, the running backs average the last two seasons he coached in the league, 15 and 16. The running backs that year got over 100 targets combined. And you know what? Jordan Howard doesn't catch the ball a lot. So I love it. I'm assuming that's Daryl Henderson?
Yes, correct.
Currently taking the starter reps in LA with the Rams. And someone posted on Twitter the other day that there is concern that Cam Akers could be limited or hampered early because of the offense and trying to learn it. And I got news for you. That's the exact same thing I heard about Daryl Henderson last year, is that this Sean McVay Rams offense, man, it's really complicated and a lot of nuance to it, and he wasn't prepared for it. And it wouldn't surprise me if he had some nice value early in the season. Jerick McKinnon, he's kind of a wild card. Maybe he'll be something, maybe he won't, but if he does, you can't lose any more investment on him. So that's Boston Scott. Boston Scott?
Yes.
I like Boston Scott. Someone posted a tweet the other day, I think it was Graham Barfield, said that every time that Boston Scott has had at least 8 touches in a game, he's finished as like an RB1 on the week. Crazy stat. Mike Boone and Damian Williams. Now, Damian Williams kind of, he opted out.
Actually,
on
you. Actually, I'm sorry. That's Darrell Williams. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just picked him up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. I like the room. In a normal season, I wouldn't be too concerned about the depth because you do have Zach Moss, who should see a lot of work between the 20s, and you got Matt Breda, and you got a wild card McKinnon, and you've got your handcuffs. But this is the one area where if you decided to make a move, I wouldn't hate it. I mean, do you feel good about the room? Would you be willing to add? We talked about your waiver wire.
Yeah, no, I would definitely be interested. I thought I was pretty good, but you do bring up some good points. And, you know, I kind of look back. I think I may have made a mistake. I got caught up in trading during the rookie draft. I had 102 and 106. And then I had 202, 206. And I told you about the lock trade. So I was good with that. But I ended up trading my 102 and a 2021 third for 108 and a 2021 first. I figured that at 108, I'd still get a running back. I'd get either Akers or Swift and still pick up a 2021 first. And then secondly, so that one I really questioned myself. But the second one, I was pretty happy. So I traded 106, 108, and 206 in 2020. And I got Godwin back, another 2021 first, and 303. So basically, I kind of gave up my two firsts, got two firsts back, got Godwin, and also traded my second and got a third. So overall, when I put the two together, I do like Godwin quite a bit. But I feel like, hey, I could have gotten a couple studs. I could have gotten maybe Jonathan Taylor and Akers or whatever. So that I regret that a little bit, but like you said, with the three firsts, maybe I get one at the end, one of those top three guys next year, and then I'll be good. That, you know, Sanders I love, and I still think Cook's gonna, you know, he's got a little injury concerns, but I think he's gonna be good.
You take away his injury concerns, and Dalvin Cook could be, he could make a case for being in the top four in a startup. We'll say a 1QB startup. I'm not going to argue with people about Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and where they go in a super flex. But if Dalvin Cook had a clean bill of health, you know, he didn't have the lengthy injury history that he does have. I mean, he is literally right there with Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, and Zeke. And he may even be ahead of Zeke. He may be the 103. So you're right. I mean, he's going to put up monster games for you. And he is the focal point of that offense. Let's just hope my man stays healthy. Now, your wide receivers, man, a list of studs. Your big three are Mike Thomas. I've heard of him. He's good at football. Chris Godwin, Keenan Allen. Now, that's Deontay Johnson?
Yeah, Deontay.
McCole Hardman, Josh Reynolds, MVS, aka Marquez Valdez Scantling, and Kiki QT. So I really like that top five. The other three are kind of like lottery tickets, although I do think Josh Reynolds takes a step this year in LA with the Rams. Obviously, Brandon Cook is now a Houston Texan. And in those 11 personnel, those three wide receiver sets, it's going to be him, Bob Woods, and my man Cooper Kupp. And this guy's got a lot to play for. He's in a quiet contract year. And he may end up being the two in this offense if the Rams can't figure out how to pay both Woods and Cooper Kupp next year. Because I think one of those two has to leave town. They have to re-sign Jalen Ramsey. They've got offensive line issues. So don't be surprised if Josh Reynolds ends up re-signing there and ends up having a decent little role going forward. So out of your lottery ticket three, he's the one that if anyone tries to get him thrown into a trade, I would be like, nah, it's a no for me, dog. I'm not doing it. But tell me about Deontay Johnson. Has anyone made any inquiries into him? Because he's been a very polarizing name. Now, it's slowed down a little bit lately, but man, right there after the rookie draft, he was all the rage. Any interest on the other owners?
No, you know, I haven't heard anything yet. It's actually interesting. I actually picked him up in a trade. I had Ian Thomas, and the guy wanted Ian Thomas for O.J. Howard. And I also had, the guy from Cincinnati, John Ross. And I said, well, why don't you throw in? I always liked Deontay Johnson. I'm like, why don't you throw in? This was in the beginning of the year before he kind of took off. So I said, why don't you throw in Deontay Johnson? And I thought I was getting a steal because I thought OJ was just starting off slow. So I did the deal. And now it still looks pretty good. I like Deontay Johnson, you know, a lot better than John Ross. And we'll see about OJ Howard and Ian Thomas. You know, that's,
I love this room, obviously full point PPR, and the one thing that you've done a very nice job on, I would like to pay you a compliment if that's okay. I would like to say I really like the building blocks of this team. Now, like I said, I think there's some sketchy floors on guys like Baker Mayfield and Locke, but the overall bones of this team with building around Cook and Sanders and Thomas and Godwin, I mean, even forget the fact that you've got Keenan Allen, who's been a stud for a long time. Those are really good bones to build around on this team. So kudos to you, and to have three first behind it. You've done nice work. Now, Keenan Allen, he is the one that I would love to move, but you're never going to get any return on that investment because there is zero buzz about Keenan Allen right now. Have you found that? Like, I haven't even heard anywhere in Twitter. The only person creating Keenan Allen buzz is him when the Madden ratings come out and he was crybaby and saying he was better than Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Yeah, you know, you bring that up. I've been trying to trade him, and I was trying to trade Cook for the lot, and I couldn't even get a bite, so I'm just going to keep both of them. But, yeah, I agree. I think Keenan Allen's still going to be good. I think people nobody wants him. So, yeah, no, I totally agree. So that's definitely a good point you make.
Yeah, and I'm looking at, again, Fantasy Pros ADP. He's going as wide receiver 21 off the board, according to their Dynasty ADP, behind guys like Jerry Jeudy, behind rookie CeeDee Lamb. And maybe I can see that. The man is 28, yeah. But, I mean, you know, I love rookies. You know, we were just, you know, championing your first-round pick. But I will tell you this. I would rather have Keenan Allen than Odell Beckham, who they have 12th off the board. I'd rather have Keenan Allen than Cortland Sutton, who they have 15th off the board. And I know that I'm giving up years of age. But let's not pretend like 28th is a death sentence for a wide receiver. The one thing that fascinates me about Keenan is that he will be a free agent next year in a very big free agent class. But there's a lot of teams out there that are going to need wide receivers. And the Chargers just broke off Joey Bosa. They gave him, you know, I like to say they gave him one of those big canvas bags with a dollar sign on it full of cash. And I don't know how much they're going to be willing to invest in Keenan Allen. They drafted K.J. Hill. I think he's out of Ohio State. Maybe it's Penn State. There's the K.J. Hamler who's at the other. Get the colleges back, you know, mixed up. But and a huge rookie class next year of wide receivers. So there's a good chance that Keenan could walk in free agency, and there's a chance that he could wind up with a better quarterback. So I think his value is fine. So If you can't get the right deal for him, please do not give him away, okay?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I heard on a podcast, I don't remember which podcast, I listen to a lot of them just like you do, but they said, you know, he's such a good route runner. A guy like him, he's going to age better because his game's not about speed. It's more about running great routes. So he's going to last longer than a lot of these guys. So I thought that was interesting take, you know?
And I agree with that. And being a good route runner, you know, that's how he creates his separation, in my opinion. He doesn't beat you with blazing fast speed or anything like that. And that is the kind of guy that you would love to see wind up with a Sam Darnold, a guy that I'm concerned with. You know, give him to Sam Darnold and let him be a polished route runner for him. The Jets have a ton of, you know, cap space next year. So, interesting, man. But I think your wide receiver room's good. I wouldn't be afraid to dangle Deontay Johnson. The problem with a guy like Deontay Johnson and Mecole Hardman and some of these other younger guys, and you've got some young guys in your tight end room too, is that you're not getting preseason games to build that buzz. You know, you need Deontay Johnson to beat a second string safety in like the second preseason game to really reignite that fire. That would help you tremendously. And because the camp footage coming out of camp with the media and everything is so limited right now that you're not even getting a ton of the BS Twitter stuff that you get around these guys. So a couple of these guys, you may have to wait till you get a little tape. Let's go to your tight ends and wrap this thing up, my friend. You've got Dallas Goedert, O.J. Howard, Albert Okwuegbunam, a guy that I really like late. I just got him in the 29th round of a tight end premium startup, Cahale Waring for the Houston Texans, and then Jacob Hollister. So how do you feel about Goddard? I'll tell you how I feel, but I would love to hear your thoughts on him first.
You know, I like Goddard. You know, you look at it last year, and now a lot of the guys got hurt, but he had a top 12 season, if I'm not mistaken. And then, you know, once, you know, Ertz leaves, I guess it was talked, you know, this year, and I guess it didn't happen, but once Ertz leaves, he's going to be crazy, I think. But even with both of them, that's their offense goes through their tight end. So I feel really good about him. You know, the depth now, you speak about the 2 points, I'm starting to think maybe I need a little bit of help, but I really do like Goddard. Well, what do you think?
I like Goddard too, but I would, you know, as we were recording this, they just re-upped Travis Kelce through, was it 2024, 2025? I got news for you. Zach Ertz is 13 months younger than Travis Kelce, and his BFF, his boo on this team, is the quarterback, is Carson Wentz. I don't think Zach Ertz is going everywhere. I mean, going anywhere. I think he's sticking around. And I think people want him to leave. You know, it's the old, hey, here's your hat, watch your hurry, as they're trying to scoot him out the door so they can rush in Dallas Goedert. I don't think it's going to happen. And this is going to be a team that uses two tight ends. And to your point, yes, Dallas Goedert in full point PPR was a guy that a lot of people were high on and a guy that finished in the top 12 last year. But if you think Zach Ertz is going anywhere anytime soon, I would be stunned. His contract is weird but very affordable for this team, and I fully expect him to be around. So does that bother you now that you hear me say that?
No. I mean, you know, this is the time to do it. His value is still high, and there are people still sending me offers for him. So that, you know, that actually, I didn't think about that. So that's really good advice, and maybe I look to upgrade that, you know, why his value is high. If I wait, and let's say, you know, some of the new guys come in and do really well, and Goddard doesn't get as much play, you know, he's not going to be worth as much. So, yeah, I mean, that's really a good point.
And I tell you, do you know what would happen to Goddard's value? And it would not be within his control because he can't control these things. Do you know what would happen to his value if the Eagles were to extend or rework Zach Ertz's contract to keep him around, say, through 2024? What's going to go down? Because then everybody knows Zach Ertz is going to be there and he's going to be the guy. And I don't think everybody understands that he's younger than Travis Kelce. And I think overall, injury-wise, I mean, they both have had some injuries, but I don't think that Kelce is more durable than Zach Ertz. So I would be looking to move Goddard if you have genuine interest out there on him. Guys that I would be looking to get. Now, I don't think you're going to get into the Kelce, Kittle. I don't know, man. Ertz, people, like I said, people are willing to throw him away. I would be cruising around and maybe just have a conversation with that owner. Hey, man, I got Goddard. I'd love to lock him and Ertz up so I have the entire Philly tight end room. What are you looking for? Hey, you know, I've got O.J. Howard, and I've got Albert O., and maybe you can piece something together. Have you had any inquiries into Ertz?
I have not. I actually didn't think about it, so I really appreciate it. So I'm going to take a look at that owner, look at his team, see what I would have to do. And you're right, people definitely downplay Ertz, and I think I'm kind of included in that because I'm kind of a Goddard fan, but it's a good point. If they re-up his contract, Goddard's value goes down very quickly. So,
yeah, I mean, just something to kick around, but I think all in all, this is a good roster and a roster that will be contending this year. What I like about this roster, my friend, is that you can play matchups, and I love the fact that you have guys like Mecole Hardman and Deontay Johnson, and I'm going to tell you exactly why. So there are going to be games where you're going to be a huge underdog. It's just the nature of the beast in a head-to-head scoring format. So when you're a huge underdog, you're able to plug in guys like Deontay Johnson or like Mecole Hardman. Maybe you like one matchup more than the other. And those guys can win you a week. Even if you're a huge underdog, it's not going to be surprising if Mecole Hardman has a week where he has like four receptions for 165 yards and two touchdowns. And that wins you a week when he's like your third flex or your wide receiver four. You know, whereas a lot of people just try to, you know, play the boring Zach Moss. And maybe Zach Moss is getting you, I don't know, 10 PPR points a game, which is great if you're a huge favorite and you're just trying to lock up enough points to lock up that win. But this is a roster, man, where if you're very careful and strategic about how you set it week to week, I think playing the right matchups, you can do that. And then as we get into the season and you can see who's a contender and a pretender, man, you've got all the leverage in the world because you've got young guys, you've got lots of draft capital, and you were able to make some moves. You put yourself in a position to be very fluid with your assets. And, buddy, you can make moves. So I like that a lot. And that's the best-case scenario is that, you know, you start off hot, you manufacture some wins, and you're cruising along. But I always try to look worst-case scenario. Man, what happens if this thing takes a dump on you? Well, hey, you know what? I still think Matt Breda's going to have some value this year. He's a guy that you could look to move. We already talked about Goddard. Zach Moss, I think he'll have some value this year. I don't think he's a world beater by any means. And, you know, you might be able to make that midseason trade because people get awful frivolous with first-round picks and picks in general when they're playing for a title. I mean, we've all seen it firsthand around the trade deadline. It makes a sucker out of a lot of people. So I think you have a lot of ways to go with this lineup, but with a starting lineup of Mayfield and Garoppolo, Cook and Sanders, Mike Thomas and Godwin and Goddard, buddy, that's a lineup that can beat anybody any given week. So I think you're set up for success, my friend.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Well, what other questions do you have for me, man? You have any more Superflex questions? I know you. I know you're chomping at the bit to start throwing out some trade offers.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I was just curious what you thought. You know, with COVID and, you know, and not having a college season, do you think the 21 picks are going to go down, or is that going to be determined? What do you think?
You know, rookie picks are a lot like a Dairy Queen franchise. They always dip down in the winter, but they go right back up in value in the springtime. And that's exactly what will happen to these rookie picks. I don't care what anyone says. There will be an NFL combine. You're going to see someone run a 4.440. We already know about the quarterbacks, and it doesn't take long, and then these guys are going to get jobs. That's what they go to the combine for. And you're going to know where Trevor Lawrence goes, and you're going to know where Najee Harris goes, and you're going to know where Etienne goes, and you're going to know where Chuba goes. And guess what happens? people are going to get excited. Did you see anybody make dumb trades during the rookie draft because they wanted a second or a third round pick?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You ever heard the expression, Father Time's undefeated?
Yeah.
So is rookie fever, my man. It is real. It is real, and it gets the best of us. Because, man, I think it has a lot to do with arrogance and ego. It just wants to be, as you like, you know what? I know this is the third round, but that's my guy. Darrington Evans is my guy, and I'm going to draft him, and I'm going to show the world what a badass drafter I am, and I'm going to look back, and I'm going to laugh in your face because I gave you a second for this 302, and I'm going to draft my guy. And I think that's part of it. And I think part of it is just people are optimistic. It's so much fun to draft that I think your first-round picks are only going to go up in value every single day until you're on the clock. It's a virtual guaranteed. And I hate to make this the Izzy Alkafast show, but I do love me some Izzy. He said that out of everything that you have on your roster right now, all these players and everything, the only thing that you have that is guaranteed to hold its value and only go up are those first-round picks. If Dalvin Cook gets hurt again, what happens to his value? It goes down.
Yeah.
Drew Brees retires and, you know, Jameis doesn't re-sign and you don't know who Mike Thomas's quarterback is, his value is going to go down. If Chris Godwin doesn't have a follow-up season to the great season he had last year, his value goes down. If Zach Ertz signs a new contract in Philadelphia, Goddard's value goes down. The only things that you have right now that's guaranteed to hold and gain value are those first. Don't have any concern about COVID in this season. Rookie fever will be back in full swing in about, let's see, it's August, in about 8 months. We get into April, mister. Those picks will be worth their weight in gold, my friend. Do not worry. You've done well.
Yeah. I appreciate that. One more question.
Sure.
I was just wondering what you thought on rookie running backs. I think their value is going to go down. You know, they're going to take a little while to get up and going. Your Akers, your Swift, you know, your Dobbins. So I was thinking possibly maybe game 4 or 5 is to kind of approach those owners and see what's going on. I know I was able to get Sanders in another league by doing a trade like that. So what are your thoughts about that, Memphis?
Well, let me share you. I like to share stories that relate Dynasty to the real world. I share an office with a gentleman named Jim. He's about 2 years away from retirement. And every day he's on his phone, he's looking at his 401k. And if the stock market's having a bad day and his investments go down, he freaks out. If his investments go up, he's excited. You're exactly right. People are no different with their rookies. And we already know that Frank Reich of the Colts has said that Marlon Mack's the starter, but he'll ride the hot hand. We talked about the fact that Daryl Henderson has been taking the starter snaps in L.A., and that there's been rumor of Akers struggling with that. The Lions recently signed C.J. Procise and Kerryon Johnson's back. None of that bothers me. I believe in the talent. I believe in those guys, and you're exactly right. And that's where I would move a first. If let's say DeAndre Swift has not done much through 4 games, okay? You can go to that owner and say, hey, man, I know you paid a first for Swift. I tell you what, I'll give you a full refund. I'll give you a 2021 first. You'll be in the running to get ETN or Chuba or Harris or one of these other running backs. You know, apparently Swift's just not the guy. I'm interested. I'm a fan. I tell you what, I'll give you a refund. And see what they say. Now, I think for maybe that same move would work with Akers. I think there's the built-in preconceived notion that you're already going to have to wait on Dobbins because Mark Ingram's still there. And one first would never, ever get you Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Jonathan Taylor. But I think that if Akers or Swift get off to a slow start, I think you could quote-unquote give that owner a refund of their first. And maybe you have to throw in a little something-something. You know? Okay, let's talk. You know, Deontay Johnson and a first for Swift and a second. That would be a great way to start if you have a disappointed owner. So, because best case scenario, Deontay Johnson's your fourth wide receiver, and you can certainly afford to move that. So those are the kind of moves that I look to make throughout a season. But yes, you're absolutely right. I out of everything else we've talked about, I love your mentality. You're looking at timing. You're setting up moves. You talked about Baker's easy schedule. Daniel Jones's hard schedule. obviously you've got your finger on the pulse of what's going on, not only with your team, but players you're interested in. So I think you're firmly on the right track, man.
Well, hey, I really appreciate it, Memphis. Good stuff. Really good advice. I really enjoyed this, and I appreciate your time.
Oh, no problem, man. And we're going to get you back. I don't know what order, and I may do two or three people per episode because, you know, we won't have to do a full consultation and hear about your backstory and, you know, about the league. It could just be about some of the moves you made and what's going on and what kind of update you have for us. But we'll get you back on here, man. It's going to be a lot of fun this season, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Sounds great. Thanks again.
All right, Dean, man, thank you for jumping on with me. Thank you for being my co-host on this week's edition of the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. And on behalf of Dean, I am Memphis, and here at the Contractor, we like to tell you the roster you have today, it's not a life sentence. We can fix it. We can help you make it better. And until next week, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Folks, Kyle here. I'm a physical therapist and a fantasy football junkie. I've been doing Dynasty for a year, and I joined the Dynasty Warzone Patreon about 6 months ago, and never have I felt more comfortable with having Memphis, Jerry, and the guys in the Patreon chat help me with buys, sells, and navigating free agency and rookie draft. I can't recommend them enough, and so join the Patreon, because if you ain't first, you're last.